Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. The 400-year period mentioned by Jesus to Abraham finally ran out, and the Canaanites still refused to repent. Child sacrifices on altars of fire and a free-for-all sexual perversion gripped the different nations of the Promised Land. Today's society would say, "Live and let live. Don't judge them. Let them do whatever they like." But God is holy, and He sees things differently. 4 centuries later, Joshua was instructed to exterminate every single man, woman, and child in Canaan. These people were trash in God's eyes, and He was performing a reset similar to what happened with Noah's flood and Sodom and Gomorrah. The Hebrew soldiers were reminded with every victory that they would suffer the same fate if they walked away from the Lord. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrected Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And today, we're going to talk about a very difficult subject, ethnic cleansing. And if you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 8, and we're going to look at verses number 24 through 26. Joshua 8, 24 to 26. Let's pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. I want to praise you. I want to bless you right now. And Lord, I'm asking you right now, give me that anointing, the Holy Ghost anointing, that will break the power of Satan. Destroy the shackles that are tying up people and giving us liberty and joy in the Holy Spirit. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. On the outline, it says this, returning to the virtual time run. The Godhead stopped the virtual time run at the destruction of IE, and the last screenshot showed the killing of its women and children. Joshua 8, 24. And it came to pass, when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of IE in the field, in the wilderness, wherein they chased them, and when they were fallen on the edge of the sword, until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai, and smote it with the edge of the sword. And so it was, that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. The God had stopped the virtual time run there, and they looked upon the screen. And they saw the soldiers killed in the field, scattered. They saw in the city of Ai the bodies of the women, the children, the infants. Bodies strewn all over the place. Blood had dried up. And it was a massacre. Why did God allow that? We're going to look a little bit later. But the Canaanites, they simply had a lifestyle that was so bad that God said there's no redemption. It is amazing that the lifestyle before the flood that people had. The main thing was homosexuality, bestiality, bisexual, child molestation, sacrificing of human beings. You that are a homosexual, you might be watching us here today, and you says, well, that's the way I was made. No, that's not the way you're made. That's the way how the demons change your DNA and made you into a male or female homosexual. You have no really rest. And you should notice that the spirit of homosexuality is the same as the spirit of the Antichrist. That's the worst kind of demons existing on earth. Because the Antichrist is going to be homosexual. And his people are going to be homosexual. They're going to defy God. And homosexuality is a dead end. It leads to nowhere except misery and eventually an early death. If you think about it, there are very few homosexual men and women that are receiving Social Security. Very few. And the reason is they usually die between 45 and 65. That's when most of them die, of their diseases that you get when you practice this lifestyle. Back in the outline here now, the Godhead reasoned that Lucifer would use the extermination of Ai's population to try and discredit them in front of the angels, holy and unholy. Lucifer conveniently leave out the fact that the people of Ai were possessed by evil spirits, worshipped demon gods, lived a complete debauchery. They were engaged in temple prostitution, adultery, homosexuality, incest, murder, bestiality, rape, and child sacrifices. As God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit discussed it among themselves, they realized that Lucifer, his fallen angels, and the people of Canaan would not comprehend that God is holy and cannot tolerate sin. This is something that I want to stress here today. God is holy. He cannot tolerate sin. God will allow for a season, hoping that you will change and repent. But the day will come when it's time for judgment. The Godhead had used holy angels to execute people through Noah's flood and rain destruction on Sodom and Gomorrah. They decided if the different Canaanite nations were exterminated by the Israelites, it would be a deterrent to the Hebrew soldiers to slay every man, woman, and child. Every massacre would serve as a reminder of what would happen to them if they turned against God. Turn to Leviticus chapter 18, and we pick it up in verse number 20. This is what God or Jesus spoke to Moses and said, this is how it is going to be. Moreover, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile yourself with her. In other words, no fornication. And you shall not let any of your seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. In those days they sacrificed their children on the burning altars of Molech and other demon gods. Today we sacrifice children in the abortion clinics. In the United States, I believe this year, it's going to be probably close to 100,000 babies that will be killed in the name of finances, or I don't want that child. 60 million Americans are dead today. They never had a chance to be born. Since 1973, that's how many children America has killed. You shall not lie with mankind. As with womankind, it is an abomination. In other words, God said, you are not going to be a homosexual. Homosexual. It's an abomination. Abomination means it's ugly, nasty, rotten, terrible, unacceptable. Neither shall you lie with any beast to defile yourself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not yourself in any of these things, for in all these the nation are defiled which are cast out before you. And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity upon it, and the land itself vomits out her inhabitants. God simply said now this. They have violated the land. They will lose it. I cannot tolerate it. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments. Shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourns among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. Let's slow down and look in verse 27. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you. He talked about the Canaanites now. And the land is defiled. That the land spew you not out also, would you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever should commit any of these abominations, even the soul to commit them should be cut off from among their people. Therefore, shall you keep my ordinance, that you commit not any of these abominable customs, which were committed before you, and that you defile not yourself therein. I am the Lord your God. He simply said, I am the Lord your God. God didn't say, I'm sorry I have to do this. God is not sorry. He said, I am the Lord your God. Let's take off the gloves this morning and be real. God is love, but God is also God of judgment. When you cross him, if you do not get saved, and you die in your sins, there's going to be no mercy for you. You cannot go up to Jesus afterward and said, and bow your knees and said, Jesus, I love you. He's going to say, don't talk to me. When you were alive, I tried to have you repent. I tried to have you change. You refused. Now, I refuse you. Let's go back to the outline now. The slaughter from the invasion of the promised land was terrible. As men screamed in agony when they were stabbed with swords and spears. Women and children were rounded up and systematically butchered, while the Israeli soldiers ignored their cries of anguish. It was not a pretty sight. It was a terrible sight. And we need to recognize this. That God is simply saying this, today, mercy is available. Jesus stands with outstretched hands and say, today, come to me. You can be forgiven, be born again, have eternal life. Please come to me. But if you refuse, you will receive his anger. The God that did not take pleasure in destruction on the Canaanites Heaven was silent for each battle God knew that law and order had been established to keep sin in check. That God had wanted mankind to know that they're in control of the earth and its inhabitants, the heavens, the angels, and the demons. That God had refused to lower their standard to line up with the rebellious created beings. It is a creation, not the Creator, who must toe the line or face destruction. Turn to Revelation chapter 20, and we're going to pick it up here in verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it. From his face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and their books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which was written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which therein, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Here's what I want you to see and understand. God is the owner of this creation. He has never relinquished his ownership. Every angel that was created belongs to him. Every human being created belongs to him. We are his property. Let me stress that again. The angels, as humans, we are God's property. He's simply saying this to the human race. I created you. I put you on the earth. I am sustaining the earth. I'm giving you life. I'm giving you health for a certain amount of time. You are my property. I give you a free will. When you are alive on earth, you have a free will. You can either walk with me or walk against me. You have that choice. But when your body dies, your free will is up. You're not going any place. You're going to be picked up. You're going to be kept in hell if you did not accept Christ. You're going to get a resurrected body just before they have the great night for judgment. That resurrected body that the unbeliever will get, it's going to be a body of shame. It's going to look ugly. But it's going to be like of steel. Even better than steel. Indestructible. Fire cannot destroy it. Nothing can destroy it. It's going to be filled with nerve endings. It's going to end up in your soul brain. And you're going to feel every pain afflicted upon you. This is what's going to happen to people that reject Christ and simply die in their sins. Now, when they are in hell, they realize this is coming. At this time, look what it says in verse number 15. Actually, I'm going to read verse number 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. God is going to say this to you. You're my property. I gave you free will on earth to make a choice. You exercised that and simply said, I don't care, God. I don't love you. I want nothing to do with you. I'm going to go with Lucifer. I'm just going to live my own life. Then you died. Now, there is a payment. and that payment is eternal. Understand now, I did not write the Bible. I have a King James Bible. This was written down a long time ago. This is what Jesus said. I'm just an ambassador. I don't set policies. I simply discuss the policies. I don't write them. Now, you heard it, and now it is up to you to either exercise and say, I don't want to go to the lake of fire. I don't want to end up like that. I want Jesus. There's nothing wrong of being so scared of hell that you get saved. That's better than being defiant and you die in your sins and you recognize I was stupid. Let's go back to the outline. Today, the sun stood still. You know, I talked to you many times about my time in a seminary. It was a good time for me in this way, that this is why I learned history, archaeology. I learned limited history, archaeology. I learned pastoral care. And I learned how to write term papers. I learned how to study. That's about what I got out of seminary. So let's turn to Joshua chapter 10. We're going to pick it up here in verse number 1. So in the seminary, I was told the Bible is not reliable. There's no way that the sun stood still. That's just a story. Don't ever preach on that. But you know what? Either the Bible is true, or it is not true. Either you take the whole Bible as truth, or you reject the whole thing. You can't take parts of it and keep others. It's either all or nothing. The day the sun stood still, Lucifer was furious. He had tried to derail Joshua by finding some of the ranks of the Hebrews that would disobey God. This task proved impossible after Achan's death. And in desperation, he put together a coalition of 5 kings to stop the Hebrew army that was crushing all opposition. Let's read the first 5 verses. Now it came to pass, when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had taken Ai, had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly before, because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore, Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, unto Piram, king of Yarmuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying, come up unto me, help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and the children of Israel. Therefore the 5 kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, got themselves together and went up, they and all their host, and encamped before Gideon and made war against it. Now, you will find today that we're going to find Democrats, you're going to find Putin in Russia, you're going to find Xi in China, and you're going to find a lot of different people that got the Pope in Rome and so on, and they all have different schemes. And they're all going to come to nothing. They are going to succeed to a degree. Because God has decreed that the Antichrist will be allowed to have a global world government. but eventually it will end. Look on the outline out of page 2. The five kings wanted to destroy the people of Gibeon for aligning themselves with Israelites, and they in turn asked Joshua for help. Jesus intervened and told Joshua that he would have victory. Verses 6 through 8. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, "Slack not your hand from your servant, come up to us quickly, and save us, and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us." So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all his people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "Fear them not, for I have delivered them into your hand. There shall no man of them stand before you." God simply now, Jesus simply now told Joshua, "Don't worry about anything. Just do what I tell you to do, and I will give you the victory." Joshua arranged his troop through the night, and he surprised the army of the five kings. They could not withstand the fierceness of the Hebrews, and Jesus activated holy angels to bomb the fleeing troop with huge stones. Joshua wanted to finish the battle and asked Jesus to stop the progress of the sun until the last enemy soldier was killed. The five kings were captured and swiftly executed. Let's read from verse number 9 and on a couple of verses here. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomforted them before Israel, slew them at a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goes up to Beth Horon, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them, unto Azekah, and they died. They were more with died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with a sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day where the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, stand you still upon Gibeon, and your moon in the valley of Ajalon." And the sun stood still, the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon our enemies. Is not this written in the book of Joshua? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. I want to point something out to you here now. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. Joshua simply said, "Sun, stand still. Moon, don't come up. We want to finish our business." And God listened. Now, people say, "I'm childish. I'm simply superstitious." But I believe that this really happened. I'm going to be glad when I get up into heaven at the judgment seat of Christ that I can say this: I did not go along with the professors, the mighty men that, you know, that think they are scholars. I defy them. I simply said, if the Bible says it, so it is. If God said it, I believe it. That settles it, period. And there was no day like that. I believe that this can also apply to us as we're coming into the day of the tribulation period. I preached a whole series on that. I believe we will live in the supernatural. I believe we can ask for miracles. Because I want you to see that. There was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened or listened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. God is for us as we will move into the time of the tribulation. As we speak, God will make it happen. And Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makeda. You read the rest of the chapter. He took those kings out. He executed them. And he simply cleaned everything up. And that was one battle. Now, I want you to see more battles here on your outline. The Hebrew juggernaut was unstoppable as he took the following cities. Makeda, Libna, Lachish, Gezer, Eglon, Hebron, Debir, all the cities of the south. Turn to Joshua chapter 11. God hardened the souls of the kings and the people throughout the promised land so that the Hebrew army could exterminate the inhabitants. And we read this here from verse number 20. That's Joshua 11:20. For it was of the Lord to harden the hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, that they might have done favor, but that he might destroy them, as the Lord commanded Moses. I'm going to go to read these different battles. I'm going to let you read. They are on the outline. I'll let you read them yourself. But I want to comment on them. All of them have the same scenario. The Israelites come up to a city. They defeat the defenders. They move in. They kill all the soldiers. They seal off the cities. They take the older men, the women, the children, the babies. Not one soul survives. Not one. I want you to understand. In those days they had no guns. The killing was gruesome. It was slow. Imagine 10, 15,000 women and children corralled. And then the Israeli soldiers just started marching in and just killing them as they went through the field. Slaughter. You can imagine the crying, the screaming, asking for mercy. Oh God, have mercy. This is my child. Boom. Head off. It's gruesome. But I want you to see today that in the end, when it's over, at the great white throne, and you're standing there and you are not saved, you will remember my words. I warned you. I begged with you. I said, please receive Christ. Please ask God for forgiveness. Please receive Christ into your heart and be saved. And you simply harden your heart and say, no, I don't want to get saved. I don't want to do this or that. When the killing started, the Canaanite women could not get mercy. They prayed. They pleaded. They cried. They said, have mercy. And there was no mercy. You understand that? Right now we got a free will. Right now you can do what you want. But you're going to pay for it. If you accept Christ, you're going to get rewarded for that. If you reject Christ, you're going to pay for that. It's a sad story. Now, I remember Yuri Linna. And Yuri Linna is from Estonia. He is a fierce anti-communist. He wrote the book Under the Sign of the Scorpion. He wrote the book Architects of Deception. And Yuri Linna is not saved. And I remember talking to him several times over the phone. I met him also in person. And Yuri Linna said he's a very, we call it, a brilliant man. He moved to Sweden. He's written a number of books. He was a thorn in the eyes of the communists. He said this: I cannot accept a God that had genocide. I said, Yuri, God is a God of love. God's a love of justice. In his book, Under the Sign of the Scorpion, which we helped him to edit, I told him that I cannot sell that book in conscience because he's attacking God and Christianity. He's doing a very bad job. I said, why don't you leave that out? Show your history. Show what the communists did, but leave that out. It's a different subject. He wouldn't do it. We did sell his second book, Architect of Deception. We had to put a disclaimer in each book, because that book is less damaging. But I felt that book was necessary for people to have. So there's going to be people. They're going to choke on this. But we need to understand this. Joel Osteen is a joke. So are all the other people that are part of this so-called love, love, money, money, ministry of God. He's just a Santa Claus. He's just standing up there, just want to throw money out, you know, and just do good. He's kind of senile. That's not God. This is a real God that I share with you. He's a God of love. He's a God of justice. Let's look at the summary right now. The God had wanted humanity to know that everyone who rebelled against him will perish. They didn't hide the fact that millions of Canaanite men, women, and children were executed without mercy. The Bible doesn't state how long this series of battle lasted, but when it was over, the God had extracted judgment upon the people of Canaan. Now, I want you to think about this. Here's the Bible. God could have simply said this to Moses. This is Joshua. Joshua, don't write this down. We're not going to talk about this. But God tells the good, and God tells the bad. Amen. He tells it like it is. And so we have this right now as a record that God had to Joshua to write down. What can we learn from this violent time period? God is not sentimental. If you cross him, expect to pay dearly. If you cross him, expect to pay dearly. I've told people this. You cannot have unforgiveness. God will not tolerate that. It's going to cost you. You cannot have jealousy. You cannot harbor ill will. Now, my wife, Ina, she got baptized in the Holy Spirit before I did. She was singing her heart out in many meetings. She was doing deliverances. She could spend 2 to 3 hours in her bedroom on her knees, worshiping, studying the Bible, crying, praising God. She spent more time in prayer than I did. But she had one flaw, jealousy. And I told her, I said, we got to get rid of this jealousy. Now, when you have a demon, that demon would tell you, no, I'm not here. She'll get mad at me. She said, I'm not jealous. Yes, you are. You're jealous of women in the ministry. You treat them bad. You do some harm to people. No. We could ride in the car. I want you to hear something today. I want you to shut up and hear something. We would travel from here to church. That's about a 40-minute drive. We had a church in town. She would sit in the car from the moment we left here to the time we ended up in a church building, raving and ranting over one woman or another woman that she felt was a threat. I couldn't shut her up. And I warned her, I said, now, it's going to cost you. Because Jesus said, if you will not forgive, I will not forgive you. We had a rich man that had servants, one owed him a lot of money, and he going to put him in prison. He forgave him. That guy had a servant, owed him a little money. He wouldn't forgive him. And then Jesus said, and likewise shall be done to you, believers. So she got Alzheimer's. It began coming on. We tried to have her to repent. Satiris came over and others. We did maybe two or three deliverances. But we couldn't budge. My wife is a godly woman, but she had this streak. Now she sits in a care home. She can't talk. She doesn't know who I am. She's watching to have a big 60-inch screen right in front of her. They bought it particularly for her. And they're running cartoons all day. And she sees the animals coming and going. That's what she's seeing. She's smiling. She eats, sleeps, goes to the bathroom. That's her life. Is she saved? Yes. She is paying today because she refused to give this up to God. I'm sharing this because I know that she would not want you to come to the same place. It's like the rich man that went to hell. He told Abraham, can you send someone to my father's house? I got five brethren there. I don't want them to come here. Warn them. So I'm warning you today. Don't mess with God. Now, Ina can't pray anymore. She can pray with her spirit, her soul. But she cannot voice it. She cannot sing anymore. Her voice has been silenced. And she sits there, paying off, day by day, what she refused to do. We believe in healing. I mean, she prayed for people that got healed. She's seen supernatural healings. But God told me this, I'm not going to heal her. This is a judgment. Do you understand that? We have to know that God does not play with us. Amen. There's a payday coming. What can we learn from this violent time period? God is not sentimental. If you cross him, expect to pay dearly. You there, that is a homosexual. God loves you, but he hates your homosexuality. He will let you go. You might flounder it right now. You might think, you know, well, this is where I am. But let me tell you this. Someday, you're going to have some angels knocking on your door. You might get cancer. You might lose your mind. You might end up in a hospital. And there's no healing for you. And you will say, oh my God. Oh my God. Please. And God said, you know what? I pleaded with you for 35 years. I pleaded with you. And you spit me in my face. Now when I start judging you, now you're pleading. But you got to remember, I'm a God of judgment. Now you have to pay because you stood in front of the holy angels, the fallen angels and Satan, and mocked me, made fun out of me. I have to judge you. Turn with me to Acts chapter 3, in verse number 19. Repent you therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come for the presence of the Lord. Repent. What does it mean to repent? It means that you understand that you've done something wrong. You're sorry for it. You want to change. You want to say, forgive me. I don't want to repeat it. I want to stop doing what I'm doing. My last scripture for today is in Hebrews chapter 3. If you pick it up in verse number 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says today, if you will hear his voice, therefore, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in a provocation, in a day of temptation in the wilderness. When your father tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved by that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, what is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke him. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Today, I'm saying this to you. Today is a day to repent. Today is a day to say, God, whatever it is, I need to be fine-tuned. I don't believe that any one of us is perfect. I don't believe that any one of us is really doing exactly everything God wants us to do. I think that we are in different degrees. We are trying to do something for the Lord. But there are very few people that will do everything for the Lord. That doesn't mean you can't have a job. It doesn't mean you can't raise your family. It simply means is that your attitude is God first, family second, country third, God first. Let me go back to this again. How many times has God spoken to you through me? Write your biography. Have you done it? No. Why haven't you done it? Because you couldn't care. It's cumbersome. You don't think it is important. You think, well, you know, I'm not that important. Listen, buddy. We're coming up someday to the great white throne judgment. Us Christians are going to be around to watch. And you're going to see a grandchild, a great-grandchild, standing there to be sentenced to the lake of fire. And that guy is going to say, but I never heard the gospel. I don't know where I'm coming from. I don't have a godly family. And Jesus is going to look over to you and say, did you write down your biography? Did you leave something behind for that great-grandson? No. Why'd you do that? It was not important. You're going to hang your head in shame. You are going to make heaven, but that guy is going to go to the lake of fire. Why? Because of your disobedience. We need to simply shape up and simply say, God, I'm doing some things in your kingdom, but I'm not in all the way. I'm not doing what I can. There are many things I should do. Joshua wrote down a story. Moses wrote the story down. All the people in the Bible wrote the stories down. That's when we got the Bible. Maybe God is speaking to you. You're retired. You sit someplace retired. You got a nice income. And you got a nice home. Somebody's going to leave it. You could relocate, sell your home. Buy something here in California. Come in. Work with us. We will not have to pay you because you have a retirement. You could be producing something that will lead people to Christ. But time is going day after day. And you're sitting there. And you says, well, someday I'm going to do something for God. Someday you're going to die. It's over. What did you leave? You left it behind. I really want you to feel today an urgency. Don't give me that lip, I'm thinking about it. Talk to God and simply say, God, forgive me for my laziness, my stubbornness, my rebellion. I'm not fully following you. You've not been watching, you're not saved. Here's what you need to do. If you want to get in on the kingdom of God, here's how you get in. Simply confess, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need Jesus. I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he paid for my sins on the cross. Right now, Jesus, come on in. Save me. Father God, forgive me for what I've done. He will save you. When we finish here, the screen will change whatever you're watching. And you will find three crosses. You will hear the voice of Pastor Charles saying, my friend, he will spend about 5, maybe 8 minutes with you and tell you how to be saved. He'll read some scriptures with you, pray with you. And you can be saved today. When you do that, would you call us, write us? Let us know that today you made that decision. To you that are saved, walking with the Lord, examine yourself. Are you fully doing what God wants you to do? Are you partially doing what God wants you to do? Only you can answer that. Go on your knees this afternoon and said, God, show me my heart. Show me what you want me to do. Show me my weaknesses. Help me to repent. Lord, take me in these last days before the Antichrist and use me in the kingdom of God to a maximum. You pray that prayer. He will show you, he will guide you, and you will be one happy person. That's my message to you today. If I didn't love you, I would have told you a lot of fluff. And simply says, I'm fluffing you so you send money. No, I'm not fluffing you. I'm giving you the hardcore hellfire brimstone sermon today because I love you. I don't want you to see you in front of the judgment seat of Christ humming around and say, well, I should have done this and that. I want you to see that with your head straight up and simply say, I did my best. And Jesus said, welcome home, your faithful servant. God bless you. Here's Brother Thomas.
Father God, thank you for the word today, the good, solid, unadulterated word of God, Lord, that tells it like it is. Thank you, Father, for giving ears to the hearer to be able to hear the word and apply it, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the word of God. It is magnificent, Lord. It is tangible. It will take you through. It will help you finish. So we thank you for the word of God, Lord. And your word says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you for joy, because even though we're looking at this world gone crazy, and I believe it's going to be hell on earth here before too long, I'm still having joy in my soul. So I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the ways that you have blessed me mightily. And I know that is happening with many believers out there. We lift up the believers around the world, those that are living in terrible regimes, Lord, the believers that are in prison, those that are in prison that should not be there, Lord, those that have been illegally convicted. And we ask that you open the prison doors, Lord. Thank you for meeting everybody everywhere as you do. I thank you for the supernatural events that have been taking place around the globe and in my personal life. Thank you for our many blessings. Thank you that we have discernment over the times and we're not walking around like so many people. I call them zombies, Lord. They're brain dead. So I thank you for all these things. I pray against this weather warfare program that's being put down on us. I pray that you would override it, Lord. Put some rain in the mountains. Confuse those evil men and women that are involved. I pray against all the... the only word I really have for them, Lord, is whores that are broadcasting the evening news. That they would choke on their words. I pray for some truth to hit the airwaves, Lord, instead of all these lies. We know we can get truth in the Bible, but I pray for some truth to go out on the airwaves. And I thank you for all our many blessings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you.
He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 28th part in the series, The Origin Story of Jesus, and was entitled Ethnic Cleansing. Child sacrifice on altars of fire and a free-for-all sexual perversion gripped the different nations of the Promised Land. Today's society would say, live and let live. Don't judge them. Let them do whatever they like. But God is holy, and He sees things differently. 4 centuries of grace ended, and Joshua was instructed to exterminate every single man, woman, and child in Canaan. These people were trash in God's eyes, and He was performing a reset similar to what happened with Noah's flood and Sodom and Gomorrah. The difference was that this time it was men, not holy angels, carrying out this gruesome task. With every victory, the Hebrew juggernaut was reminded that they would suffer the same fate if they walked away from the Lord. God is not sentimental. He wants humanity to know that anyone who rebels will perish. The knowledge of God passed from Noah and was ultimately lost to Ham's descendants in Canaan, and they were executed for their unrepentant, sinful lifestyle. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1816. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.